fans, and welcome to another rousing edition of Vancouver Giants This Week, presentation of White Spot, the fine White Spot restaurant chain. You just go there. It's old school. It's new school. It's after school. It's just the coolest. I'm Brooke Ward. It's Brooke Ward's White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week. I'm there twice a month anyway. You might find me there somewhere. It is great. Triple O, get the Triple O, my go-to legendary platter. I don't add the tomato or the lettuce, although it's free. You can add it for free. But a legendary platter, extra Triple O, and sometimes it's onion rings over the French fries, but I want the coleslaw. Oh, man, it's not that late at night. I might do that right now. Thanks for being with us tonight. Steve Ewan, Vancouver Province, to join us later. Bill Wilms with the Vancouver Giants to join us later. Nathan Cantor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants, to join us very shortly as well. We thank you for joining us here tonight. Also joining us, as always, Jack the Giant Baby.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a big ho, ho, ho back to you as well, Jack the Giant. We're going to run the highlight reel from yesterday's Giants game as well, the 3-1 victory over the Wild from Wenatchee at the beautiful confines of the Langley Event Center. Also, we were going to hear a little bit of Manny Viveros, among other things. One of the things with the team now, Mazen Leslie's on a tear, this guy. The captain of the Vancouver Giants just putting up incredible points on record pace for seasonal scoring for a Vancouver Giant defenseman. So we're going to hear some stuff from the guys and from the head coach about Mazen, too. And a guy we are keeping our eye on, too, is Cameron Schmidt with the Giants. This is a lifetime for him. He's playing well. He's getting points, but the assists. It's 11 games without a goal for Cameron Schmidt. That is a lifetime for him. He's still got 34 in the season. What an incredible start for this guy. When pucks start going in for them, and it will, this guy is going to be on a tear. And the Giants coaching staff, too, and Manny will talk about this in a couple of moments. I've been talking with Cameron, too, of keep your head up, don't get down. He's never been through this before. Young hockey player as well in his second year in the dub. What a player he is going to be long-term in the pros as well. More on that coming up with Cameron Schmidt and the rest of the gang. The Giants had a 1-2-1 weekend. Yesterday was the win, 3-1 over Wenatchee. Leslie had his 18th and his 19th in that game. Thorpe is 26th. Assists went to Levis, Lynn, Lipinski, Schmidt. And Burke Hood, the goaltender, a helper on Leslie's clincher into the empty net. So an assist for Hood. He got his 15th win of the year. He made 39 more saves, now rocking a .904 save percentage. And you'll hear this more than once from me during the program tonight. In his last three games, which were this week, he played three of the four games. He went 1-1-1, had a .942 save percentage, Burke Hood, in goal for the Vancouver Giants. He is quite a story. Seven games to go for the Giants, three of them at home. They're at Kamloops on Saturday. They're hosting Prince George on Sunday. The following week, they've got Victoria on the March 14th in Victoria. They host the Royals on the 15th. They're at Portland on the 16th. Tough schedule. And then they'll finish up the regular season at Kamloops Friday, March 21st, and then Sunday, March 23rd, hosting the Kelowna Rockettes. That's the last game of the regular season. As we speak, the Giants are sitting in a tie with Portland for sixth place in the Western Conference. Winterhawks have two games in hand. That sounds like bad news, but again, you're going to crunch those games. Giants seven left. They have an easier games played schedule in the Winterhawks. There is the game against Portland for the Giants, too. The Winterhawks basically play three games in three nights every weekend for the rest of the way. And that's taxing. The Giants have a little more time off, and they're tied with Portland right now. So do games in hand mean everything right now? Not necessarily. You got to play them. You got to wear yourself out a little bit. Vancouver also within two of fifth place Tri-City in the West. The Americans do have one game in hand on the Giants. Yesterday, the Giants, backed by Burke Hood, backed by Mazen Leslie, and backed by the play-by-play call of Nathan Cantor and Bill Wilms, beat the Wenatchee Wild 3-1 at the LEC.
Dunphy down the far wall for Sherbina. Here's Dunphy, high slot. He's got a lot of room and a one-time it, and he scores. Oh, that was a good-looking shot from Brendan Dunphy, who snaps it home, the 18-year-old. Opening the scoring for the Wild, 10:05 remaining in the first.
Yeah, this is good puck movement. You know they're going to set it up. You know when they're doing this, any team, when they're throwing it from one guy to the next, back and forth. You know that eventually that shot's going to come on net.
Giants will now work out in numbers. Here's Thorpe in on a two-on-one with Lynn. Thorpe will fire. He scores! Tyler Thorpe goes top shelf off the rush. He's got 26 on the season. More importantly, it's a tie game 1-1.
You know, when these guys are flying, we talked about this in our pregame show. You know, this has been very difficult for Vancouver to get through that neutral ice area. Brendan Gee's only 6 feet tall. So when he drops down to his knees, Nate, there's a lot of net exposed up top, and that's exactly where Thorpe put the puck.
Spencer for the Wild in left side, cuts to the middle, shoots, stopped, and looking for the rebound. Puck is still loose. It's underneath Hood. Oh, he made a huge save as Spencer was stopped, and then the puck was there after that save, and Hood stood his ground. Now a speedy Spencer will hop on it and carry and drop from McCloskey. Pate. There's a big rebound. Another save from Hood as he stopped that one with a blocker. There was a big rebound, but he recovered. Face off to the left of G. What are you going to have to do to beat him is almost what I'm starting to think as they win the face off. The Giants do. Lipinski down to the goal line for Schmidt. Cross ice. Leslie. He scores.
That's what you got to do.
Look at that puck movement. Leslie's 18th, and it's 2-1 G-Men.
You know what happens on this power play? There's two, maybe three passes before Leslie gets it. And Leslie is literally in his office.
Dunphy to McCloskey. A minute and a half to go. Left circle sights. Stopped by the shoulder of Hood. He lost his stick. Leslie will go for the empty net. Will it go? It will! Leslie hits the empty net from his own corner. A two-goal night for the captain and a 3-1 Giants lead.
A lot happening there, a lot of important things. That penalty kill was huge. Now the shot ends up another save. Leslie right against the back wall in the corner. Follow the puck into the net.
Follow that puck into that net. That's what happened in a 3-1 Vancouver Giant victory yesterday. 4 games and 5 nights for the Giants, 3-3. A tired hockey club, Manny Viveros, you know, pretty proud of the way these guys showed up.
I really like the way our guys dug in and found a way to get it done. Should we have got better results earlier this week? Certainly, I thought we played some really good hockey on that road trip. But it's one of those games, too. It's the end of a long week, a lot of hockey, and we know our kids really dug in. And I thought, you know, some of our big boys, so to speak, were really good again tonight.
I want to ask you about Cameron Schmidt, who did not have a goal this evening and has been on a bit of a goalless drought of late, definitely, but still found a way to contribute to this game.
That's really important. We had a conversation before the game with him, and we had talked about it. I said, Cameron, this is the first time probably in your career that you haven't been able to score at will, and that's going to happen throughout your career. But you have to be able to do other things besides that. You're not going to score every game. You're not going to score every shift. So you got to be able to play without the puck. And this week here, I've been really impressed of his play without the puck. We want to get him to use his speed more, his separation speed. And I thought he hung on the pucks better tonight. And he created space by using his legs. And that's what he has to do and contribute in those situations. And teams, they have a book on him now. And that's where it's part of development is you got to have a plan B. You're not always going to score, and you've got to have a plan B and be able to contribute in other ways here. And I thought this week was a really good step in that. And I saw it tonight in this game. He made those adjustments. He had some good looks, but he didn't score. He kept coming back and playing the game the right way.
Manny Viveros, head coach of the Giants, and you bet, said it before, say it again. When pucks start going in for Schmidt again, watch out. Watch out, because there's going to be a lot of pucks that go in for him. Brooke Ward with you here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Coming up next, Bill Wilms, Nathan Cantor later in the program, Steve Ewan as well, all doing the damage right here on the voice of the Vancouver Giants. Jack's here too. Oh, Jack. He's always looking for airtime. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
Giants will now work out in numbers. Here's Thorpe in on a two-on-one with Lynn. Thorpe will fire. He scores! Tyler Thorpe goes top shelf off the rush.
You know, when these guys are flying, we talked about this in our pregame show. You know, this has been very difficult for Vancouver to get through that neutral ice area. Brendan Cheese only 6 feet tall. So when he drops down to his knees, Nate, there's a lot of net exposed up top, and that's exactly where Thorpe put the puck.
Tyler Thorpe, 26 in the season now. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. On the voice of the Giants, Sportsnet 650, Brooke Ward with you, and really the voice of the Giants, Bill Wilms. How about that snipe? That guy, you've said before, this guy can shoot, Bill. He can shoot.
You know what, Brooke? He's doing a lot of other things, too, which is very, very good, very important to his development. But his bread and butter is still that shot that you saw or you talked about right there. It was important in that game, and it will continue to be important as he continues his development. It was wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to get into the games of the week, too, with the Giants going 1-2-1 in the week. But do you think Thorpe's more physical play? He's had a few fights now in that, Bill. What's that do for your confidence, too?
Tremendous amount of confidence. And the thing is, Tyler Thorpe knows that if he is going to tilt, he's going to scrap. It's going to be in his weight division. It's not going to be somebody much lesser because it's only the big guys that'll take big guys on.
Yeah.
And I think it's certainly added confidence to his overall game.
I think so too. Wednesday, Spokane 4-3 over the Giants. Friday, Try in overtime 3-2 over the Giants. Saturday, Everett 4-2 over the Giants. Some tough teams in there. And then yesterday's 3-1 win for the Giants. Very tired hockey club with 4 games and 5 nights, Bill. 3-1 over Wenatchee. What's your take from those 4 games, my friend?
Well, we'll start with that. You're talking about the Vancouver 6-2 loss in Wenatchee, right? The very first game on the road trip. That's kind of where I think I wanted to get a read on this team on that road trip, on that start, and I think I did. I didn't think it started all that well for the Giants in Wenatchee. First 30 minutes, it was 4-0 Wenatchee. The second 30, it was 2-2. But they chased the game. They never got the lead. They never were tied. They played basically 50 minutes of hockey at best, and I kind of felt like it was trying to light the fire in the woods all wet. They just couldn't get anything going in Wenatchee.
Light the fire in the woods all wet. I'm looking for my book, my Billisms. Oh. I got to remember that one. Okay, that was last Sunday against Wenatchee. Yeah, they did not have a good game. Do you think they didn't get the results all that they wanted? But I know Manny thought they competed very well. Wednesday through Sunday, shall we say?
Yeah. Well, you go into Spokane on the next game. Okay, this is now the 4-3 Spokane win. Spokane was incredibly difficult in the first period. I mean, they just swarmed everywhere. But here's the bottom line, Brooke. They were tied after two. Burkhood after two periods was 27 saves on 29 shots, a 9-3-1. Now, anytime you're going into Spokane and you're tied after two periods of play, you're taking it because now it's only 20 minutes to win that game, and they couldn't do it. Spokane took over. And for me, the whole thing there was that the Giants ended up the season with 0-for-12 on the power play against the Spokane Chiefs. Tri-City was never going to be an easy out in their building as well. You looked at what happened as far as the Giants were concerned. Burke Hood was terrific after two periods again. He made, 9-5-2. The Giants, Brooke, actually take a lead into the third period in Tri-City. So what happened? Good grief. I have no idea. It was a blitzkrieg. Burke Hood faced 26 shots in the third period alone, and, you know, it went to overtime. It was terrific. And then Tri-City comes away with that 3-2 win. On to Everett. After two periods, Brooke, Everett 4-1 lead. And when you're in a hole like that after the second period, you're asking for trouble in that building. Period three, I thought, was a 12th period of 12 periods on the road. And they played a pretty good third period. Win the game when you're down 4-1. In Everett, where they've only lost 5 times all year, not likely, but you could take something out of that third period, I think, into the first period on Sunday against Wenatchee, and they did that. And I like their game more Sunday against Wenatchee than I think Coach Manny did, but they got the win, and that was important.
Big time. A 1-2-1 weekend, and they're in a tie for sixth place right now, Bill, with Portland. I wasn't expecting Portland necessarily be in sixth place, but they're within two of Tri-City in fifth place, seven games to go. Manny did say he didn't think they had the energy yesterday against Wenatchee, but that's 3-3 and 4-5 and that type of thing. But I know Manny also said everything we're doing here is to get better towards the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's going to be a much, I think it's going to be a much different schedule from this point on. The next 3 weeks you're playing seven games and only Saturday, Sunday this coming week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday the following week, and Friday, Sunday the last week. So if you notice, you've got a week of practice every time between weekends. There's no midweek games whatsoever. There's a little stickler in there, and that is after next weekend, they go to Portland on Sunday. But sometimes when you do schedules, Brooke, I know exactly how that works. You get a game that you've got to fit in somewhere. And, that's where it fits. So they'll be playing Victoria, and at Portland. That's not this weekend. That's the following week. But I do think that their schedule is actually perfect heading into the last seven games and then into the playoffs. But I thought that U.S. trip, there was some very interesting things that came out of that. And we talked about it on our pregame show as well.
What in particular jumps out at you? I know postgame too that Mazden Leslie had said, that was a big week for us. We played some tough teams, a lot of games, but we played some tough teams and played them well.
Well, I started and I went over this a little bit with Manny too. The Lipinski, Muranov-Thorpe line, they may have, in my opinion, and he kind of agreed, he said they'd probably taken another step, a positive step in their progression. I think Lipinski is kicking it into high gear, and that's perfect for him. And, Calgary has to make a decision on him by June. We already talked about Thorpe. His skating is elevated to a point, Brooke, where he's a factor at even strength on the power play. And on the penalty kill, Muranov, it's come obviously that he's not going to be a big goal scorer. He's a little less dynamic on that line, but he makes Thorpe and Lipinski so much better. He will be a key part of the playoffs. I think, with Muranov and Lipinski and Thorpe being on the road, the four games that we just talked about, I saw something there that I really think has made them even a better line. And I don't want to talk about Ryan Lynn. On this four-game road trip to the U.S. Division, Brooke, he continues to be a must matchup against the opponent's top lines. It's incredible. Vancouver didn't have any last changes on this road trip. And he looks incredibly, incredibly comfortable. Playing with Mazden Leslie, he never feels like he never looks like he's playing in the shadows of Leslie. And he's a third leading scorer in the defense in the Western Hockey League. And, I look at Lynn and I figure no matter what defenseman he's paired with on the Vancouver Giants, he's the number one guy. I looked at Haliburta on this road trip. Now we're talking about all four games. I think he's even more committed. I think he's even more physical. I think he's looking stronger. He's looking faster. And, he's dragging guys into the battle. Clearly, the four games is just that we just talked about on this road trip. And what can you say about Burke Hood? I mean, what you saw at home, I'll tell you what, he is providing something on the road that's spectacular. I think he can perform in front of big crowds. We've talked about that in the past. On the road, especially at 6,200 people, I think it was close to that at Tri-City. And I think he's a goaltender. I don't know about you, Brooke, but it looks like he could steal a game on the road in any series. if you can do that, you know for sure there's possibility of, you know, stealing a series. And one stat that jumps out at me, Birkhood has faced 49 shots twice at Kamloops and at Tri-City this week. And guess what? He got both games to overtime. That's unheard of for me, for most goaltenders. That's the battle level that he has. So he's proven again, added to what I just talked about, and we can leave Cameron Schmidt for a couple of minutes because he's the other guy I do want to talk about.
And I've got Cameron. I'm going to come at, because you talked to Manny about him post-game as well. But Birkhood, by the way, just for your records, if you're scoring at home, 1-1-1 in the week, 942 save percentage, Bill. 137 shots, he stopped 129 of them.
Wow.
And since December 31st, he has a 920 save percentage since coming back from the break. In his first game after the break, when Matt Hutchinson was still here, was December 31st. And then they handed the keys to the car to Birkhood, and he has started that car, and he's getting great mileage.
Let me get that again. You said this last four games in the U.S. division, he was what?
The last three games he played this week is what I'm counting on. He had a 942 save percentage in the three games he played, and 129 saves on 137 shots. And since he played his first game after the break, December 31st, he's got a 920 save percentage. If you want the shots, he's faced 746 shots. I don't know how many games, though. Haven't done the math. He's made 686 saves on his last 746 shots since and including December 31st.
Yeah, and again, why I keep referring to the four games, you don't get it. It doesn't get any tougher than going to that U.S. division, especially at this time of year, you know, where you got a team like Wenatchee, and Wenatchee trying to make the playoffs. You know, you got the best team in the conference in Spokane. You got a Tri-City team that's the biggest. I think their average size is 6'2". Their average weight is 183 pounds. They're a big, big team. They're playing at home. And, that's for Birkhood to do that, you know, and looking comfortable doing it, I might add. It's very, very natural the way he stops the puck.
I love the guy. He's just got pro written all over him at 17. I don't want to overdo it, but even when he was, you know, below a 900 save percent, he's sitting at 880 at points early in the year, too, to look at, after playing a decent amount of games, to look at how far he's come is amazing. But even back then, early in the year, he just looks like the goalie of old to me. Looks like Ronnie Hextall or something, Bill. One of those guys who's big but still flexible and can move. So I really like him. I really cross my fingers, hope the career goes for him. Cameron Schmidt. I know you talked post-game about him, and I had written down during the hockey game to make sure I asked you, and you and Justin asked post-game of the head coach, but are guys just closing in on him, giving him no room now? There seems to be three or four guys around him when he has the puck. What do you think's going on? He's certainly getting a lot of attention.
Yeah, he is that. And I don't care how many games he's in a slump. It doesn't really matter because I'm sure he will get out of it. But if I can refer, like you probably heard me say this in the post-game show, I mean, you go back to the four games in the U.S., there was a couple games screamed that Madison, you know, or Cameron Schmidt get a goal. Two goals on that road trip, three, and it would have been a different result. But it is what it is. He's still completely dynamic. There's no question about that. He's explosive out of a turn. And Brooklyn, when you judge a player's skating, it's two things. How tight are his turns? Is he like a barge where he takes half the rink to make a turn? Or is he tight on a dime? Okay, he makes a turn, and what really you're looking for is how does he explode out of a turn? He made a play against Wenatchee on Sunday at center ice where he had got the puck, made a tight turn to get it, and in one stride, he was on the defenseman. And he can get on top of a defense that quickly, forces them to back up. That's all still there. And he's got great escapability. It's hard to take Cameron Schmidt out of a game along the boards. But that's still there, like I say. But here's what in my opinion, his shot release, although it's outstanding, I think it's a little bit too predictable as to where it's going to come from. And, you know, when you're talking basketball, for example, there are players in the NBA and NCAA all the way down. They have their favorite spot on the floor to shoot from. And they practice that. Coaches will make sure that that ball gets to that guy in his favorite spot. The only problem is there's nobody, you know, really stopping the ball from going into the basket. Hockey, there's people in front of you that are going to block it. Well, that happens in basketball too, but there's nobody, you know, there's somebody guarding the net every time. And I would like to see him maybe pick a few spots on the ice, and they're working on it, says Manny, where he can shoot from, which is a little bit different. And once he gets his mojo back, I'm pretty convinced that he'll be a major piece in the Giants playoff picture. I don't think it's if, it's when he starts scoring again, and it's probably going to come at a heck of a good time.
I know you talk with Manny, again, post-game too, and he said they are working on him, trying to keep his head in it. He's goalless in 11. That's a lifetime for Cameron Schmidt. So when he breaks out, watch out. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate this. What was this one? It's like trying to light a fire in a wet forest. Did I get that right?
No, yeah, that'll work.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Brooke Ward. Coming up next, Nathan Canter, Steve Ewan later in the program. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. This is Sportsnet 650.
Spencer for the Wild in left side, cuts to the middle, shoots, stops, and looking for the rebound. Puck is still loose. It's underneath Hood. Oh, he made a huge save as Spencer was stopped, and then the puck was there after that save, and Hood stood his ground.
Hood stood his ground. Hood stood. Maybe that's a new catchphrase. Hood stood. Nathan Canter is the man, the myth, the legend, Sir Nathan of Canter, play-by-play broadcaster. He made the call. Hood could, should, would, and did, Nathan. What a game yesterday again from this kid, huh?
Hood stood. I got to steal that. I gotta. Do I have to give you credit, or can I just start?
No, you just go. Well, if you want, but you don't have to. Hood, would, could, and stood. You know, you can move those around anywhere.
Yeah,
know,
yeah.
Like you should.
Man, has he been good.
Good one. Been, good hood, stood, could, would, and should.
Easy. It's too easy. I love it.
Do it, man. Do it. I'm easy. Ask anybody.
He's like this young man. I mean, we talked about how good he is second half. And what I'm a little – like he has been so – he's – The last three games, because he played on the road trip. He played Wednesday. He was phenomenal against arguably the best offense in the league. And he doesn't win. He's phenomenal in Tri-City, 46 saves, including 25 in the third period alone. Doesn't get the win. And then against Wenatchee, 39 of 40, and he does get the win. He has been so good. And part of me goes, is the team getting so comfortable in front of him that now they're allowing more shots? I almost go, a small part of me goes, 48 shots allowed against Spokane, 49 shots allowed against Tri-City, 40 shots allowed against Wenatchee. He's just, they have so much confidence in him now. It's almost like, ooh, maybe the Giants are allowing a little too much, but he is so dialed in, so good. We talk about giving the team a chance to win. I mean, now he's stealing games. Like he's gotten to that next level. It's gone from giving the team a chance to win pretty much every start to, well, now he can steal you games. And the question becomes, who's going to want to face him in the playoffs? Like, if you're an opposing team, he steal a series?
Isn't it funny the way that works, too? Lots of time? Exactly. I hadn't thought of that. But isn't that funny, too? Yeah, it's like kind of like, well, wait a minute. You can be an underdog, but if you're a goalie, they can, exactly what you said, steal a series.
And he's 17. So
17. Yeah. It doesn't rhyme with hood.
No.
Could, should, would, did. By the way, in his over the week, he played three games, 1-1-1.
Yeah.
129 saves on 137 shots. He had a .942 save percentage in his last three games over the week.
That's funny. I did a quick math before, and you beat me to it.
I got more for you, though. Who's hot?
Okay.
Who's hot is coming up.
Coming up?
He might factor in, but yeah, okay, I stole that from you. I'll leave another one. But but yeah, Hood could, stood, should, would, and is good.
Indeed.
Wow.
Indeed. Just quickly, one other rookie has a better save percentage in the whole Western Hockey League, and they play on Medicine Hat. Jordan Switzer's the only one who's over a 900. Other than Hood on the season is a 904. Like, how good is that?
Mm-hmm.
And Switzer just on Medicine Hat. Like, he does not face nearly the chances, the volume and the quality playing on a team like Medicine Hat.
Interesting. So, like, yeah. You would have guys maybe, hey, we could fly the zone a little bit now. We got Hood.
Yeah. So. No, let's focus on the I can see why it would be tempting. I really can.
Yeah.
But I think the just, you know, 40 is a few too many. And the Giants on the season, I mean, they're averaging about 32.5 shots against per game, which I think is fine when you keep it close to that 30 number. It's just the last week. And then again, Spokane, such a good team, Spokane, like crazy. It was the third period against Tri-City that was a little worrying. And then 40 against Wenatchee, they played well. Let's get that closer to 30.
It's funny. His post-game on-ice interview yesterday with Justin Morissette.
Yeah.
I'm going to tie this into how tired this team has to be, Nathan. You don't play, and you must be beat. You travel. And there's work to be done when you travel. I remember I was with the Vancouver Canadiens years ago, and we were on a long road trip, and I said to one of the players, boy, I'm tired. And he said, well, you don't even play. Snotty at me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I got things to do, though, but you're right. But so I know, you know, you got tons to do, but these guys playing 4 games in 5 nights, got to be the bus rides all over the place, all the stuff. The post game with Justin asked him 3 or 4 things. By the time he got to number 3, it was one word answer. I want to go. And then they had the post game skate yesterday. I want to go.
So, you didn't go yet.
Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, it's got a good week for rest, hope for these guys. Boy, it's a big ask what happens in the dub sometimes.
It is, and it's funny because after the Tri-City game where Hood stopped 46, I mean, they got to do their post-game, you know, cool down, their stretch. But after that, you're pretty quickly like, let's get out of here because we went right from Kennewick to Everett, which is not particularly close. It was about 3.5 to 4 hours. And but it just happened to be when I was taking my gear out, it was Hood who was helping at the same time, just taking something down the hallway to the bus. And I looked at him and said, like, just unbelievable performance, you know, just trying to let it, not that he didn't know already, but like, great game.
Yeah.
And he just said, oh man, I faced a lot of shots the last 2 games. And I went, oh yeah, I've noticed. Yes, I can only imagine how tiring that's been. And that was before the Wenatchee game, before the travel. Finally, he got a night off with Everett. But yeah, he was, I'm just saying, even before the Wenatchee game, he was, you could, because again, he's never had this type of, not just the workload, but he's never had this type of season, as you mentioned, with the travel, with the games. I mean, now he's at 37 games, which is several more then he played all of last season with the U18 Brandon Wheaton. So, he's so sharp. And just for someone who hasn't gone through this type of thing, and that's a goalie who gets some nights off. I can only imagine for the guys who have to get up and play each and every night and battle, and the Lins of the world who are, you know, the Leslies playing 25 plus minutes a night, 4 and 5 with all those bus rides, all those, it's a thing, and it is something that, and Bill brings this up often, I like it, like scouts like the Western Hockey League partially because obviously it's such a high level of play, but partially because the schedule combined with the travel, you get to see things. Okay, when guys are tired, how do they play? And it is a little much.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a little much, but they've gone down from 72 to 68 games, and I think it is useful to see when you're not at your best, how do you play? And I think that yesterday was a good example from the team, from the Giants, for, okay, they dug in, they got it done, even when they were pretty exhausted.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this before, but it's a lot of the rookies, and it's hard to believe Burke Hood is a rookie, frankly, the way he plays. But, mm-hmm. like, this is brand new. This is every day. This is a full-time job. And there's all this stuff and schoolwork for those.
Yeah. So,
and all the other stuff, those who are still in school, the older guys, at least if you're 19 or 20, whoosh, got that off my plate. It's something this first year for a rookie to hang in and do what they do. And even back to Cameron Schmidt from other years and other rookies. He played 22 games with the Brandon Wheat Kings U18s last year, snuck in one with the Winkler Flyers. Moose Jaw Hockey League.
Didn't he have a shutout?
Yeah, he did,
I don't know
too.
If you can see that.
He did,
with
too.
Winkler, yeah.
He got a shutout. and And so now, yeah, 37 this year and all the travel, and it's an everyday thing, and he has to deal with you on the road. So
yeah, I know.
And Justin on the ice and post-game skates and all the stuff and funny uniforms, and it's like, wow, man, there's a lot going on. Real quick before we let you go, of course, take as much time as you want. Who is hot? Who's hot, this and that? What's going on?
Well, I liked Tyler Thorpe's goal yesterday. How nice was that? He kind of outweighed the diving defenseman. His 26th of the year. He's got 4 goals in his last 7. So he is, you know, 4 goals and 6 points in his last 7. Not the most, you know, stats that are going to completely throw you away. But, you know, he is certainly, I think that line, that whole line, stats or not. Lapinski's also hot in terms of the numbers with 8 points in his last 6. But I just like how that line's playing. Muranov, Thorpe, and Lapinski. Whether, you know, the stats say it or not. And for 2 of the 3, they do. They are hot, technically. But they are on, is what I will say. And that is a line that is going to be a lot to handle in the playoffs. They're going to be tasked with shutting down opposing top lines. And they'll be up for that task. But it's going to be from the other side. Like, they're such a good two-way big line. They're going to be very, very tough to handle. So definitely Lapinski and Thorpe. And I will say, you know what? I'm going to throw in Schmidt here for hot. I know that sounds weird because he's gone 10 without a goal, but he's got 7 assists in his last 8. And I want to credit him for the playmaking, and I also want to credit him for yesterday looking more like his usual self, because he was skating and flying through the neutral zone, and he had another breakaway where unfortunately he got stopped, but eventually if he keeps getting those, he will get through. And I think 7 assists in 8 games is very good for, again, what is a 17-year-old forward. And I do have to also shout out Mazen Leslie.
Yeah.
He's, you know, back-to-back 2-point games, 4 in his last 2, so small sample size. But in terms of the larger context, the larger history, 66 points for Leslie as a defenseman this season. He is 6 behind Kevin Connaughton for the most points in a single season by any Giants defenseman. Connaughton had 72 back in 2009-2010. Bo Byram had 71 a little more recently. But 6 to tie for Leslie with 7 games remaining. I say he does it. Brooke, what do you say?
I say, well, he's on pace. So, yeah, let's do that. It's just every night there's a point or two for him. It just doesn't get held off the score sheet very often. What a pleasure to watch this guy play. A pleasure to chat with you, of course. Hood, yeah. Stood, should, could, would. He's good. And so are you, Nathan. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for coming on Brooke Ward's Vancouver Giants This Week presentation of White Spot.
No problem. That Brooke, he's pretty good, too.
There should be
pretty
something good in that for me if I'm going to be sponsoring this. thank you, pal. You're in it for me. Appreciate it. We will see you on Saturday after when we get down to 6 games to play for this hockey club.
Yeah, it is getting down to it. Exciting times. Thanks so much, Bert.
Thank you, pal. You're the man. Giants Saturday. Check that. Saturday at Kamloops. Sunday, home to Prince George, the third last home game of the regular season. In the Loops on Saturday at home to the Cougars from Prince George on Sunday. Steve Ewan, Vancouver Sun Province, Twitter extraordinaire. He's coming up next. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio
and Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lapinski down to the goal line for Schmidt. Cross ice, Leslie! He scores!
That's what you gotta do.
Look at that puck movement. Leslie's 18th, and it's 2-1 G-Men.
2-1 goal. It was Leslie en route to the 3-1 victory. The Giants over the Wild from Wenatchee yesterday. It's White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week, or as you know it, of course, at home, Brooke Ward's White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week. It should be Steve Ewan's White Spot Vancouver Giants This Week, because he's always on the spot. Hi, Huey. How you doing?
I was thinking that I definitely like the Brooke Ward name, but, you know, I'll take whatever love I can get.
No one's told me I can't do that, so just sort of start to
not
do
yet.
It. Not yet. I know. By the way, the big win yesterday, lots of chat about. You've been tweeting about Mazen and Leslie, too. Like, who hasn't? But before I get to that, I bought a, believe it or not, I bought a Vancouver Province newspaper the other day just to read a Steve Ewan article. Old
Thank
school.
You.
You're welcome. But really, you know, what's $3.33 plus tax? It was 38 pages long. It was like, you know, what's that, 10 cents a page? Like, remember the days? Weren't they over?
Nobody said there'd be math today.
Nobody said there'd be math today. But it was still good to grab a newspaper and sit down. Don't you miss that? Or do you still, you know, it was still good?
I still read it cover to cover and still really enjoy it. I think it's, I think people still want to be educated and entertained. And it's about the industry finding ways to get to people.
There's still something special about sitting down, for me anyway, old school, mm-hmm. with a hard copy of a newspaper in your hand and reading the sports section and all the articles. It's just more enjoyable.
You know what I miss? I miss, and we're completely off topic here because that's what we do.
Yeah.
I miss the baseball summaries.
Yeah.
Reconstructing a baseball game from the box score.
That's the first thing you'd do in the morning, you know, years ago, pre-internet and all that stuff. You'd grab the newspaper, find out. You didn't know the night before how you did in your hockey pool. You might have heard the Stastnys had a hat trick, and for young people, they were hockey players in the National Hockey League, the Stastny brothers. But
from a team that no one's ever heard of anymore.
Yeah, the Quebec Nordiques, yeah. Mm-hmm. And but you'd hear, ooh, they had a big night, but that's all you'd hear. Next morning, newspaper, go through all the stats. How many points did I get in my pool? What happened in baseball? Yeah, that's a long-forgotten art.
Lost art.
Yeah. But it used to be also, times changed, but it used to be about 100 pages long, that newspaper, and it's not anymore.
That, too, is a lost art.
I know. It used to be 50 cents, too. That's what didn't used to be 50 cents, Huey?
Yes.
But anyway, it was just great stuff to pick it up and you know, get that carbon on your fingers at the end of the year. That rarely happens when you're cruising on Twitter. Mazden Leslie, what a show for Leslie, and what
speaking
a player
cruising,
this guy. Speaking of cruising.
Like nice that? Nice. That's a segue that we call it radio.
That's why you're here. I'm going to write that down.
There you go.
Speaking of cruising, and you've been writing about him in the province and on Twitter, carbonless on your, carbon, no carbon on your finger Twitter. What about this kid?
Carbon-free Twitter.
Carbon-free zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about him?
I think he's been superb. I think he's really rounded out his game. As it feels like as good as he's been offensively, he's also much more dependable defensively. I think if you go back and look at that game, he got the empty net goal, but right before that, he made a very big shot block to take away a scoring chance. So that's what spoke to me, is just how much more well-rounded his game is. I'm really interested to see if he gets some NHL interest out of this season, because it feels like his game is really, he's become more dependable and more, let's say, coach friendly this year, and I think that's a credit to what he's done.
What do you mean coach friendly?
Just a guy that's not as a little you can put out in the last minute, and a guy that's going to take care of his own zone. I think he's better in his own zone.
Yeah, because he used to be not all offense, but that was his game, right?
It felt like that was what he was focusing on. It feels like he's focusing on the DN and the offense is coming, because his offensive instincts, the way he moves around the offensive zone, I think has always been very good.
He must be black and blue today. Like, who isn't? But he blocked so many shots during the game. You mentioned the late one too. Could have been a game saver. He was getting beat up basically with pucks hitting him in the second period too. The life of a defenseman. But offensively, sure. And I've talked with the other guys about this too, going into this. But just watching what he has done offensively over the years as well. It's really incredible how good this guy is. Maybe flying under the radar good. Although he has had invites to NHL camps before, but maybe even flying under the radar good.
A little bit. I do think that rounding out his game and being a 200-foot guy, to steal the cliche, I think it has been really important for him.
What do you make of those ninja unis yesterday? You got one? You want one?
No.
Oh.
No. not a fan. There's so many of their call them specialty jerseys that I really like. I wasn't a fan of those ones.
You know, skating away.
I'm too old and grumpy to be a fan of this.
Skating away from the back view, they look terrific, frankly. The front view, the turtle shell, you know, that's what it is. It's a ninja, but the turtle shell front, that was a target to me. I thought, just aim right here. So
I don't think it was aimed at guys like you and I, though. I don't think that was their target market for that jersey.
Well, it was cool. The kids.
What's your favorite specialty jersey?
When they dressed them as elves years ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're great.
The Star Wars was fun for me. I liked the the indigenous one. I liked all the Gordy. I liked the Pat Quinn one with the big clover leaf.
Yeah, that's good.
I can go on and on about their jerseys. Yeah. I like a lot of this. And I guess you call them the third jerseys. I like the big lumberjack on the
front.
On the front. I think those are the jerseys that the Canucks always probably wanted and just never had the gumption to go get.
My favorite is, if you're talking about the big giant head on the front, or way back when they went, because they went to V's. Remember, they went to the original Vancouver Millionaire V's. I like those. Those are really sharp.
Yes. I think most hockey fans in the city probably don't realize that was a Canuck thing first. Sorry, that was a Giant thing before it was a Canuck.
And then the Canucks stole it. Yeah, they do that a lot. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to take that. Yeah, that was the Giants wore Millionaire replica jerseys years ago, and unis, not just jerseys, unis look great
with the cream colored pants.
The cream pants, yeah. Now I'll tell you, I thought it looked better when the Canucks wore black pants, I believe, with that uni, but the Giants went traditional with the cream. But my favorite jersey right now, and I don't know if it's the one the one just with Jack the Giant's head right on the front that they wear, and they wear often, and I like the whites more than I like the blacks.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like the third, I guess we call it the third
jersey. I guess so, yeah. Those look great, and I like the white.
I'd like to see those become their full-time jerseys, and it feels like they're wearing them more and more.
Yeah, yeah. I think Ron likes the originals, too, that they had, or some of the early ones they came up with that we do see, obviously, in there. But but this is one of my favorites. But you remember when they dressed them as elves years ago? Remember that?
Yes, that was
great.
That was at Rogers Arena.
That's my all-time favorite. Rogers Arena.
Yeah, when they played a teddy bear toss there
at Rogers at the Coliseum.
Yeah. No, at Rogers.
No, I don't think so. I was at the Coliseum.
Yeah, they did. Go back and look.
They didn't go to Aquilini's home, Rogers Arena.
Yes, they did.
I'm gonna go look. I do not recall that. At all.
Michael.
It's before my time.
No, you were around.
No, we weren't at Rogers.
That was Bowen Byram. Brooke, I bet you a pirate pack.
I make that bet. I'll make that bet with you. Because we went to the Coliseum, it was like 6 or 8 years ago, and we were having plenty of technical difficulties trying to get the microphones working and everything. Yeah. And that was Teddy Bear Toss Night. That's Coliseum, man.
You're on
drugs earlier than usual.
You're going to be sad.
Okay, Pirate Pack on the line. I'm going to go look that up as soon as we do this. Hey, buddy.
Michael, I'm trying to think of his name. He came over from, I think he'd been in Portland. That was the year that they made the trade with Medicine Hat. Would have been 2019. Would have been the 2020, maybe.
Do you remember us going back to the Coliseum to a game?
Yes.
Because Ron had said at that point, boy.
They went to two that year.
Yeah, and I just Googled.
And it was a hassle.
I just Googled now, and I'm finding two things. One was a 2018 game or something like that, or not, at the Coliseum. But yes, you're correct. We did one in 2020 in February, I think.
2019 in December.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So we did both. So is that a push then on the Pirate Pack? Because we did a Coliseum and you... It is too a push. We did the Coliseum and you said it didn't happen.
No, I did. I never... You're going to have to go back and check
the tape. I'm going to go back and check the tape. You said no, we didn't. It was at... Because I said, wasn't it at the Coliseum? You said no, it was at Rogers.
No, I said they did both. I said that they did two games two games of the Coliseum that
I don't think
that
so.
Year in particular, and then they did one game of Rogers.
You're totally lying. I'm going to go listen to the show again and find out, man, because I think even if that's a push, but I don't recall you saying that. But if it is, I owe you a Pirate Pack. Yet I feel like I'm getting ripped off because you were poo-pooing the Coliseum teddy bear toss. Although I thought
I think
it didn't.
You're going to have to go back and listen.
No, I can now picture myself doing the PA announcing at Rogers Arena. I actually can. And I'm thinking, well, why else would I be there? I was not filling in for Al Murdoch, so it must have been a Giants game. Okay. But I thought you said no to the Coliseum.
Go back and listen.
And I remember the Coliseum because people started getting to fight and they were throwing teddy bears at each other in the crowd. And I had to tell people, stop throwing teddy bears in the crowd.
Yes. And you scolded us all.
And Doug Bodger got a hold of me. He was an assistant coach. I'm trying to remember the team, if it was Kamloops at that time. But he came up to me later and said, that was so funny. We're laughing on the bench. You tell them to the crowd, please don't throw teddy bears at each other. So I'm calling it a push, but I'll pay you because that's the kind of guy I am.
Yes.
Thanks, Yuey.
You and Bill Wilms, both guys that pay.
Yeah. Yuey?
Yes. It
really hasn't been that much of a pleasure, but thanks for coming on, pal.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're up a pirate pack. I hate your guts now. Steve Ewan, Vancouver Province and Sun, 33 pages long. It's still worth the $333 to get it. Big thanks to everyone on the big program today. Steve Ewan moments ago, Nathan Canter, Billy Wilms. We also heard from Manny Viveros early in the program, a little Justin Morissette flick for you as well. And of course, my bouncer, the Mike Hogg, Jack the Giant.
Oh, oh, oh.
Giants back at it in Kamloops on Saturday night. They host Prince George on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Get your tickets, VancouverGiants.com/tickets. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Brooke Ward. This has been Vancouver Giants This Week, presentation of White Spot on Sportsnet 650.